Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 12th of May, recording at 8:44 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week, and it has certainly been a dramatic one. And we had stock markets, many stock markets, soaring into the week, touching new highs for the move that began way back on March 2003. And then it all started to unravel on Thursday, and we've had some panicky action in here today with the main European stock market indices mainly down over 2%. And elsewhere, in terms of government bonds, persistent weakness despite the stock market sell-off here today. And in terms of the US dollar, again, persistent weakness. Metals had an incredible week, prices absolutely soaring, a bit of profit taking here today. And in terms of the oil sector, rally earlier in the week, faded here, mostly faded in the after hours trading here today. Okay, let's go back to the stock market cycle, the big outlook, but also I think the really important point that I want to make right now is that the evidence that we have actually now commenced that medium-term correction that I had forecast for the second and third quarters of this year, and we do have some tangible evidence, excuse me, that that correction has actually begun. Now, why all of a sudden? What might the catalyst have been? Well, you know that interest rates have been rising, and there's been more talk of further hikes, particularly coming from the ECB. And then the Fed indicated that the rate hikes may not be over. As an aside here, if we get sharp downside follow-through in global stock markets, I think that would certainly put on hold further rate increases, but we'll have to see. Certainly the intention as of a few days ago from the ECB and most likely the Fed was that rates would be going higher a little later on, if not immediately. So we had the rate hike, then we had the absolutely explosive move in most industrial resources, and oil was pushing up again as well. So that fanned inflationary fears overall. So that's pretty strong medicine in terms of an actual headwind. Now, I just received today an historical item on the discount rate hikes, and this is a bit of a stunner. And basically, when the Fed raised interest rates on Wednesday, taking the federal funds rate up to 5%, it also took the discount rate, which it's been moving up a quarter of a point each time as the federal funds rate goes up. But it took the discount rate up to 6%, and this has only happened apparently 7 times in history. I was surprised to hear that, and I was stunned by the evidence of what actually takes place or what took place in the past following those interest rate hikes. They were fairly devastating. For instance, we had the 16th of May 2000. That was after we'd had the return rally following the Nasdaq's initial down leg, and it got back up almost, well, in a retest of the highs. Didn't quite reach the March high, and then we had the discount rate moved up by the Fed to 6%, and you know what happened thereafter. 4th September 1987, was the time before that when we saw the 6% discount rate. You know what happened in 1987, the crash. 26 October 1977, that was a lesser decline, but certainly, well, the S&P did fall 10% over the following 6 months. 1st May 69, and we saw the S&P down, excuse me, about 30% for the over the better part of a year. 9th August 1929, where you're beginning to get the picture. And I'll let you read the rest. So 6% discount rate, and that occurred on Wednesday. Markets getting walloped on Thursday, and also here again on Friday. So I do think that the medium-term correction has commenced. I have opened some more hedge shorts in terms of my own positions, if I'm wrong. And there have been other sell-offs that were sharp but very short-lived that ended with some quite clear upward dynamic. So if I'm wrong on that, we know what the signals will need to be, and those would be some sharp upward dynamics. But I don't really think it's going to happen here this time. And I think investors have been really overcomplacent in terms of what the Fed would do, and they've kind of looked on Bernanke as something of a fairy godmother, and Greenspan before him in that same role, believing that should stock markets begin to quake, that such could be the knock-on effects of that, that the Fed would rush in and slash interest rates and roll out the alleged plunge protection team. Well, I have little doubt that if a stock market slide gathers momentum, that the Fed would come in and act, but not on the first 2 days off the highs that we've seen for so many of these stock markets. Now, which markets might get hurt the most? Well, I think today is illuminating. Europe has been hit harder than Wall Street. Wall Street isn't quite closed yet, but the gains are about 50% bigger in Europe than on Wall Street. Of course, Wall Street was weak yesterday as well. But a lot of European and North American money has gone into the European stock markets in the last few years, and they had been extremely strong performers. And one was the belief that, well, not the belief, the fact that valuations were generally more attractive. And then there was the belief that the long-awaited European economic recovery was getting underway, and to a certain extent, limited extent, it has. And then there was also the belief that the synchronized global economy would be very good for Europe's exports, particularly good for, let's say, the heavy equipment manufacturing goods coming out of Germany, and that helped to boost the market really quite considerably. But one of the stories that we're getting now, of course, is the weakness of the dollar, and a flip side of that, or one of the consequences of that, is a strong euro, and that I think is certainly going to cause concern about the export profits coming out of continental Europe. So this is a dangerous environment here, and I know I've been issuing warnings that the risks were increasing and so on, but we see some tangible evidence now of that market correction. And so I put on some more stock market short hedges. I'm not disturbing my core long positions, and I said for some time that I would hold on to those. But I am certainly putting on the hedges. They're asymmetrical hedges, and I'll probably add some more, particularly if I can place sensible stops. I did place stops over the previous highs when I opened those short positions around noon today. But if I can leverage up behind trailing stops in what looks like a continuing stock market correction, I will do just that. But having said that, I think Europe might be one of the more vulnerable areas, and during corrections, it usually proves to be a high beta version of Wall Street. Well, usually appears to be a high beta version of Wall Street in any environment. On the way up, it outperformed Wall Street, and I wouldn't be surprised if it outperformed Wall Street on the way down. By outperformed, I mean fell more. Now, are there any markets that might do better? Well, first, on the uncoupling subject, there hope springs eternal that markets are going to uncouple when Wall Street experiences a sharp correction. It's never really happened. Now, this time it may just be different, or I think there will certainly be some differences. One, for instance, historically, the Asian markets have been quite high beta, and therefore they have fallen more during the Wall Street downturns, fallen more than the US market indices. This time, that might not be the case, and if it isn't the case, it would occur because the Asian fundamental story is clearly so much better than it has been in the past. It'd be one factor, and also the valuations are generally more attractive. So that may well cause. I certainly don't expect that the Asian markets would miss out on a Wall Street-led medium-term correction, but they may not fall more, as has always been the case in the past. And if any market here does uncouple, my guess is that it would be China, and that you would see it principally through the China A-share indices and related indices. Now that we have to be careful on that though, because that there are a number of different China indices and a number of different ways that people have participated in China. For instance, the Shanghai A-share index had another terrific gain in here today, completely shrugged off any developments that were taking place in Wall Street, and it's been in form recently, as you're probably well aware, and you can see that in the library. But the China fund listed in New York, in which primarily U.S. People would have invested, has been hit quite hard in line with Wall Street's sell-off. And I think that Hong Kong, where a lot of less Western money is, would be hit harder probably than the Shanghai A-share market. Interestingly, I suspect that the and also hope that the Atlantis Japan, pardon, not Japan, the Atlantis China Fortune Fund would hold up better. I'll just repeat that name, the Atlantis China Fortune Fund, in which I've invested, and I know a number of subscribers have invested, that probably would hold up a bit better. That's a UK fund, and so it's not everyone is eligible to invest in that. But bottom line here, I don't think this is a great time to be putting any new money in the stock market. I'm sitting on a lot of cash that's been accumulated over the last, mostly accumulated over the last few years from trading, and I will deploy that cash probably in the fourth quarter of this year, but subject to when it looks like this correction ends. And I think that will be an excellent buying opportunity overall. But in the short to medium term, I think we're going to see some pain here in stock markets, and it could get a bit panicky overall. I will not be panicking again, to repeat this point, in terms of any of my core investment positions. Those are unleveraged. They're in sectors that I like and, for the most part, will hold for many, many years, mainly in Asia, and particularly Asian emerging markets, and then, of course, also resources. And I like those sectors very, very much, Asia, emerging markets, resources, and that is almost certainly where I will be investing that cash that I have been talking about, assuming we do see a fairly significant correction here over the next few weeks and months. Now, elsewhere, government bonds. Well, I expect if this sell-off gathers pace that I'll probably be stopped out of my government bond short positions because I've been following them down, and that's been a nice little nice rewarding little move here. But I've been keeping stops quite tight overall, and my feeling is that a Wall Street led correction of consequence does create the risk of a cascade effect. Now, the cascade effect would have the we would see that in terms of markets that had done particularly well, high-flying markets, not just stock markets, would come down. So I would expect it to hit resources, the resources sector, the actual commodities I'm referring to now. But markets that had been heading south fairly rapidly would most likely reverse. So government bonds, for instance, we might see some flight money into government bonds. Not enough for me to want to buy them. I think the story is very, very bearish there. But you can imagine how that could happen. And very often, if we get a shock to the system, and Wall Street is capable of producing this shock, triggering that stock market correction, which then causes people to reassess in other markets. And if sentiment is such that people become sufficiently concerned that they decide to cash up on some of their positions and just increase liquidity overall, then we see some fairly dramatic counter-trend moves. So that would be upwards in bond markets, quite possibly. It could also produce a rally in the US dollar, not immediately, but at some point, if we were seeing the selling go on, as people have been selling the dollar quite heavily recently, wouldn't be surprising if we had some short covering in there overall. Now, there's a fair amount of conjecture in this cascade effect theory that I'm putting forward, and it's more of a hunch than a hard forecast. It's something that I've worried about previously, and you can see why that might happen behaviorally, but it depends very much on the way the stock market move unfolds overall. And I think that the more frightening the stock market correction is, and frightening includes more big down days that occur fairly rapidly, then that would increase the odds of just causing a general change of mood so that people decided to cash up in whatever they were holding. That would produce the cascade effect. If we get a more gradual correction overall, then it might not be a factor at all. But what I do feel quite strongly is that that medium-term correction that I have forecast has commenced, and it started yesterday, and we had some downside key day reversals on some of the indices which were part and parcel of that. Okay, moving on. Government bonds, to say I will not be buying, but I will keep the short positions well protected by tight trailing stops, and then eventually I'll just get shaken out of those. Now, in terms of currencies, the dollar is still weak, very weak in here today, and that's one of the factors that's beginning to alarm investors, particularly in the European stock markets, but also Japan. Japan has been affected by this as well. As far as the metals are concerned, now it's just been money for old rope here recently, and a lot of these trends are overstretched. I was stopped out of half of my gold position late this afternoon here. That was the June portion of my gold position where the lion's share of the profits have been. My stop in the protected, my in the money stops, and all my gold stops are in the money for the September contract was contracts were not triggered in here today. But as I say, that's reduced my, it was a wonderful run, wonderful move. It's reduced my gold position by half at this stage. I've got a completely open mind. I'll just watch the charts here. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see gold consolidate in here now. So I'm unlikely to do anything aggressive. I may just leave my August position protected with stops, but on a longer term basis, I maintain that gold is exceptionally bullish. Now, Owen gave just an absolutely brilliant interview on Bloomberg here this afternoon. Some of you may have actually seen it. I know he has a second interview that's going out over the weekend. He says the Friday one, the one that occurred about or was shown about 4 p.m. British summertime. He said that was the best one, and I can't imagine how an interview would be better than that one. Owen's point was that it was the second time he'd been able to rehearse it. So, but a point that he made, he was asked about these all these resources. It's a point that I agree with completely, and he said that yes, a number of these trends are overextended in the short term, and yes, they've accelerated, and yes, that looks climactic in the short term, and the moves have been huge. He said, though, for perspective, and he talked about the length of commodity secular bull markets, and I won't review all the fundamental case for why I think this is going to run and run and run, this commodity bull market. But of course, nothing moves up in a linear fashion, and so it will be a jagged uptrend overall. And we are certainly due for a corrective phase in here. But he was asked about gold. Could gold push up to $1,000? Again, Owen repeated that targets are guesstimates, but he offered his guess on that. And he was asked, for instance, if gold could go to $1,000 this year, and he said almost certainly not. But he definitely expected to see that within the next 2 or 3 years. I couldn't agree more. And he was asked if gold could go considerably higher than $1,000. And Owen's point was that yes, it could over the next 10 to 15 years. And when asked by how much, and he said, well, it could be a multiple of today's price. Again, I agree very, very strongly with that. So I think this is an exceptionally bullish story, and likely to remain so for all the reasons I've detailed, I think quite extensively, and that have also been detailed by some of the reports that I've posted over the last many months, even years. But gold's probably due for quite a choppy period here in the short term, and we could also see that for a number of the other metals. Now, one factor that would contribute to that would be just again sentiment changing, people cashing in. That's part of the cascade effect triggered by the stock market sell-off. And then, as stock markets react, and those long-term interest rates, if they push a bit higher, then inevitably people are going to start to draw conclusions about growth. They're going to start to ask questions, saying, is global GDP growth going to be slowing down? And that's the type of thinking that would cause them to become a little more cautious regarding some of these metal prices that people have been bidding higher. So to see at least short-term corrections and quite easily medium-term corrections in a number of these high-flying resources would hardly come as a surprise. But the overall bull story, I maintain, is phenomenal. I think it's a more bullish story than just about any other that we have seen, and that it will produce some profound additional increases in these prices. And when you hear all this talk of 25-year highs in gold and other commodities, remember that's on a nominal basis. You adjust these charts for inflation, and they don't look that overextended at all. They just look a bit overextended in the short term. I'd put crude oil in that group as well, and even the still sagging natural gas, the cheapest futures traded industrial commodity, but still unloved. And I think that's pretty much it. So, have an enjoyable weekend. I hope the weather is as good where you are as it is here in London. And no doubt we can look forward to an eventful week next week. All the very best to all of you.